The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you're tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today I'd like to talk with you about something I have seen in my practice continuously for over 30 years and that affects a lot of people. Call it by a whole bunch of different names, but I'm going to call this show Burnout. Because I can't tell you how many times people sit down in a chair in my office and go, oh, I am fried. I am so overdone. I'm burned out. I can't do this anymore. I'm falling apart. And they say some version of burnout. So call it what you will, but it's that space and time where you're starting to dread your life because you feel like you can't stay ahead. You can't get things done, and you just feel kind of overwrought, overworked, and stressed out. So I know there's a bunch of you out there right now shaking your heads, yes, oh boy, she's describing me. But what I want to do in this show is not only reiterate what burnout is so you can identify if that's what you have, but I want to tell you the ways that you get out of burnout, because so many people say, I am so burned out, I need a vacation. And it's a big, long thing to teach people that a vacation isn't what you need. A vacation is like a Band-Aid on a gushing wound. So you've got to do it differently. And by the end of this show, I want you to be able to say, okay, yes, I'm burned out, I'm fried, and to be able to make a plan to get yourself out of it. Because I hate to tell you this, but severe stress, which burnout turns into, will kill you. It's kind of that simple. In fact, at one of my weekend intensive workshops, I had people draw their grave, and I had them devise their tombstone. And I said, I want you to really think about who you are. And if who you really are and how you behaved was on your tombstone, what would it say? So we did a whole lot of work on what are my core issues? How do I present to the world? What is my biggest theme song for my life? And people came up with the most amazing tombstones. And the moral of the lesson was, do you want what you do to kill you? And it was a huge awareness for people. I'll give you a couple examples. My dear friend Dan Kupski, known for many, many years, Dan's tombstone would say, Daniel, I can sleep when I die, Kupski. And we always tease him about that because that man can go till 2 or 3 in the morning. He's like the guy at 1 o'clock in the morning going, let's play another game of cribbage. And everybody's like, ah, I'm falling asleep. He just has this boundless kind of energy and enthusiasm for life. And I just love it. Love you, Bubba. Anyway, that would be on his tombstone. Daniel, I can sleep when I die, Kupski. Now, if that stressed him, if he did that kind of energy from burnout, that could put him under, 6 feet under, right? The fact that he does that with his normal, exuberant, happy personality, it's not as stressful for him as it is for somebody else. But if you're the person who says, oh, God, I don't have time to go to sleep, and I'm going to set my alarm for 2 hours earlier, and, oh, if I can just pull an all-nighter, maybe I can catch up. That's the I can sleep when I get everything done person. And that leads to burnout. So if you sit and look at what your tombstone would be in regard to how you run your life, whether it's home and kids, work, family, elderly parents, what would be on your tombstone? And how would that point you in a direction that says, this is who I am, and maybe I need to take a good hard look at this if I don't want it to kill me? And I say that a little bit facetiously because sometimes the way people think they're going to get out of their hard burnout, fried life is someday I'm going to die and I won't have to do this anymore. If you find yourself thinking that too, then you're further along in burnout than you realize. So looking at what burnout is that it's slow and insidious. You know, we've talked before on my show about the frog in the boiling water. There's that fable that says if you throw a frog in a pot of water and you slowly turn the heat up, the frog will stay in and be a happy camper swimming around. And eventually when the water's boiling, the frog will die. But if you throw a frog into boiling water, the frog will jump out because he'll notice that it's hot. So it's a really good metaphor for how a lot of us run our lives. So let's picture that you've started a new job. And in the very beginning, you're excited and you're energized and you have all these great ideas and you can't wait to get to work and you feel important and not important like in an ego way, but like, God, I've got a purpose here and I'm really doing stuff. You're highly productive. You've got a good flow in your energy. That's that initial enthusiastic phase that happens with all new everything. That's what happens in relationships when they're brand new. This is wonderful. Oh, my gosh, nobody's ever understood me as much as this person. Oh, the sex has never been this good. Oh, wow, this is amazing. And that's the initial new honeymoon kind of phase to relationships, to jobs, to whatever you're doing, okay? So in burnout, there is that initial phase. Now, if we use the frog in the boiling water analogy, then what happens is if you start a job that's horrid with nasty people with unrealistic expectations and you feel unproductive, out of your element, not doing well, it's a horrible fit, you might leave right away. You might look at your employers and say, this is not a good fit for me. You might go home and say, I can't do this. And you might leave much sooner. It's the slow and insidious, this was so good at the start, and it is slowly kind of deteriorating, that is the frog in the boiling water. So I don't care what you're burned out with, whether it's your job, your relationship, the house at home, whatever. It's that slow and insidious, I can't do this anymore, this is too much, it's really overwhelming kind of thing. So getting out of that honeymoon phase where you're just really excited and doing well, you begin to see the stressors that are accompanying that new relationship or that job that you thought was going to be great, but now you're starting to see the parts of it that aren't that great. And I'll tell you, I'm not saying that every job, every relationship, everything has to be, you know, just honey and roses all the time. It isn't how life works. But when the bad starts outweighing the good, the stress sets in. Think about that for a second. Once you think of how much stress you're in right now, and did the bad start outweighing the good, and when it did, it overweighed it, then you started to feel stressed. And at first when stress happens, it's kind of like, oh, wow, oh, phew, boy, I got to get a handle on this. I got to get the house cleaned up. I've got to, boy, the yard's getting away from me. I'm doing great at work, but I'm getting behind in my paperwork. Boy, nobody notices yet. Maybe I'll just pull an all-nighter and get caught up. And there's that sense of, oh, I got caught up. I'm not as stressed. So this is kind of the introduction to what burnout is. The frog in the boiling water, and the water's beginning to heat up. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to give you some real important symptoms and clues for you to recognize just how burned out you might be. We'll be back in a minute.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Burke's Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Burke's Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Burke's Construction Management.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about burnout, being totally fried, being overloaded. And I really want you to be able to generalize this to whether you're burned out from your work or your relationship or the caregiving that you have to do, whatever is calling you to task in your life. And getting to a point where it's no longer fun and it starts to get stressful is the beginning of burnout. And there's an interesting concept here, too. When the beauty starts to fade, okay, when the blush is off the rose and you're starting to recognize that this is real life, whether it's a relationship or the job or caring for your elderly parents or caregiving or whatever, you start to realize, wow, this isn't going to be as easy as I thought. There's a little bit of a feeling of betrayal. Okay? Hang on to that for a minute. When you start to realize that your relationship isn't going to be all perfect, when the job that you thought was going to be amazing and exciting and, you know, just energize you, starts to get real and the stress starts to set in, sometimes there's a little bit of a feeling of, dang, why is this not going to be perfect? Why is this not going to keep going? And what you've got to recognize is that the older you get, the more you recognize that that's a normal course of things. Like with relationships, I tell people all the time, you really enjoy that cloud nine first stage of a relationship where everything is so wonderful. It doesn't matter if they chew with their mouth open. It doesn't matter if they squeeze the toothpaste tube in the middle or leave the toilet seat up. None of that matters because they're so wonderful. And then all that starts to wear off, and pretty soon you're saying, oh, they're human. I don't know about this. The older you get, the more you recognize that's the normal course of things. It's not something that you need to feel betrayed about. You need to expect it. So I tell people all the time, wait till cloud nine wears off before you marry somebody. Wait till you've had your first fight and you're no longer seeing them as perfect before you move in with someone. Because if you get married and that first blush of everything's perfect, or you move in with somebody, or you get exclusive with them way too fast, then what happens is when you figure out that they're human, you feel betrayed. So the same thing tends to happen with a job that you get burned out about. It might go on for a very long time that it's wonderful and doing great, and then you start to really feel the pressure of doing more, earning more, showing up, getting more things done, coming up with bigger and better ideas, getting a handle on your paperwork, because, boy, paperwork starts to get old. I've met very, very few people in my life that say, I love doing the paperwork. Occasionally, those people are around. But most people go, ugh, I got to get through my paperwork. And they're overwhelmed by it. So as burnout starts to begin, like the slow turning up of the burner under the frog with the boiling water, you'll start to see some physical symptoms. Maybe a little bit of irritability or anger, a little bit of what I call the Sunday night blahs, where you're like, oh, I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. Okay, I wonder if so-and-so's still going to be an idiot or, you know, be grumpy or whatever. So you start to feel a little bit of avoidance, a little bit of stress, kind of a feeling of, I can't focus, I'm irritable, I'm angry. Then there might be some physical symptoms. You might be getting more headaches or stomach aches. You might feel a little more anxiety or dread. And you might do some passive-aggressive things. As you start to get stressed, you might show up for work a little bit late. You might start lying. Oh, there was a train that stopped me. Or, you know, I was kind of sick this morning. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to come in, but then I figured I was all right, and that's why I'm late. And so you start to avoid a little bit, do some denial, try to cope with your stress in some ways that aren't necessarily super healthy. And that's a real call to consciousness. If you're starting to get unhappy, you're not totally stressed yet. You're just thinking, wow, this is not all wonderful like I thought it was going to be, whether it's relationship or job or whatever. Then what happens is you start to stress a little bit. And that stress causes some physical symptoms. And for some people, it causes denial and avoidance, which is really difficult. You might find yourself withdrawing. Your sleep might get disturbed. You might find yourself needing a whole lot of sleep. And then you might start adding some dysfunctional coping mechanisms. This is where alcohol or recreational drugs might increase. You might begin to stress eat. And, you know, occasionally you find the person who under stress cannot eat. But generally what I've seen in my office over the years is people gain weight when they're stressed because they stop telling themselves no. Instead of reaching for that healthy grilled chicken salad that they used to eat all the time, they're going for the hamburger and french fries and the milkshake because it's comfort food. And so there's a reason comfort food is called comfort food, because the high fat, high carbohydrates, intense calories make you feel satiated, and that's what you're looking at when you're starting to feel stressed and not like you're doing what you need to do for your happiness. So all those things start to increase. I always say it's drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, gambling, shopping. And you're doing your stress, dysfunctional coping mechanisms behavior. So at this point in the show, we're going to go to break in a couple minutes, but what I want you to look at is what are my dysfunctional coping mechanisms? What do I do that is not the best behavior for me and for me continuing to be really happy in what I do? So look at your physical symptoms and look at things like headache, sleep disturbances, GI stuff like irritable bowel syndrome, just stomach aches even. Grinding your teeth is another thing I see a lot of in my office. Biting your nails, picking your skin, doing OCD anxious type of behaviors that are an attempt to shove under what you're feeling. Okay? So take a look at those kind of things. Now look at your functioning in this situation, whether it's relationship or job. Are you as excited as you used to be? Do you avoid going or avoid phone calls or don't want to talk about anything that's disappointing or serious because it makes you start to feel bad? So if we project this out and we say, yeah, I'm starting to feel that way, then when you go further into burnout, that stress increases and it gets worse and worse. What was a stomachache might turn into persistent stomach and bowel issues and GI tract stuff. You might go into a pattern of sleep disturbances that you have a lot of trouble breaking. And a real typical sleep disturbance that I see is you're exhausted and you fall asleep, but you can't stay asleep. So you wake up in the middle of the night and the anxiety is huge and you can't stop thinking about what you should be doing and what isn't getting done or what's changed or the grumpy coworker or boss that you're dreading seeing. Or that you're starting to get not enamored with your relationship and you're starting to feel guilty and you kind of wish you hadn't moved in together yet or gotten married, or you're just feeling more and more unhappy and more stressed. You might begin to feel a little bit depressed. And depression often starts with feeling apathetic. Like, you know, I don't care. Whatever. I can live with this. I can get it done. So the chronic exhaustion and the chronic feeling of, I don't really care, and I'm starting to get depressed, but I don't want to think about that, feeling pressured, then you might even start to feel like, God, if I leave this job, what if I don't find a better one? Or if I let this relationship go, what if this is the best one I'll ever get? So the stress mounts, the pressure mounts. The physical symptoms get worse. The coping mechanisms usually get worse. As the stress magnifies, that one glass of wine when you get home from work turns into two or three or the whole bottle. You go back to drinking hard alcohol that you've never done before or that you used to do, but you said, that's not good for me, and you stop doing it. You stop caring about what you eat, whether you're eating healthy or not. You're just grabbing what's quick and easy and satisfying. Comfort food. Remember, why is it called comfort food? You also might have a decreased kind of sexual desire, but you also might find yourself trying to escape in sex. Many people use sex as a coping tool because the tranquilizing effect that happens with ejaculation and orgasm can be addictive to people that don't have any other ways to relax themselves. So they start to put pressure on their partner to comfort them in that kind of way. So you're thinking about the frog in the boiling water, and the water's starting to get more and more and boil harder, and the stress is getting worse, and the unhappiness is getting worse. At this point, you're kind of actively deciding, do I ignore this? I'm really starting to recognize that I'm unhappy. And I'm doing a lot of these behaviors Dr. Patty's talking about. And I think I'll turn this off now because I really don't want to know. Okay, stop that. Denial and avoidance. You do not get to turn this off because you need to listen all the way to the end where you figure out how to do this differently. It's really important that you learn how to do this differently. So stop and take a moral inventory here. What would be on your tombstone? Would you be like, I had to figure out what mine was, Patricia, it has to be perfect, Bay. And I went, ew. So a long time ago, I really worked hard on letting go of perfectionism and trying to just strive for excellence. And in my head, at least, excellence is obtainable. Perfectionism is not. So if you're always striving for perfection, you're never good enough. You have to do more. You have to try harder. You have to come up with a bigger, better something. And the perfectionism was killing me. And I think it was really annoying people around me, too. Well, okay, I know it was. But I started to realize you don't have to do that first off to yourself and then to the people around you. It's just not productive. So what's on your tombstone? What would your theme song be that is killing you, to be specific? How burned out are you by the things I've been talking about? So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about when burnout really starts to be something that we can diagnose and it's not good, and what do you do? And I'm going to take you through some coping mechanisms that are not particularly healthy and aren't going to change what you're dealing with. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about burnout some more.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do. Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for my show, North State Now, on the first Thursday of every month. We'll cover what's going on in the North State, Axiom Theater, local theater, arts, food, film, and even the latest in astrology. That's North State Now on the first Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty. You are listening to the incredible, beautiful music of Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. His music is just so soothing. If any of you out there are massage therapists or yoga teachers, his CD, The Water Place, that Amahi in Cherokee means the water place, is exactly 60 minutes long, and it's a great CD, super relaxing. It's only Native American flute. There's not anything else with it. And he recorded that CD 1,000 feet underground in the Lost Sea in Tennessee. There's no electronics involved with it except for the recording microphones, and all the reverb you hear is echoing in the caves. It's simply gorgeous. And what's really nice is it's exactly 60 minutes long. So, it helps you time your sessions, which is cool. Okay, so thank you, Randy, for letting us use your beautiful music on this show. You can go to randymcginnis.com and check out all six of his CDs that are just gorgeous and all very different. All right, we're talking about burnout. You need to listen to Native American flute music to feel more less stressed out. I had you looking at what you would put on your tombstone that would indicate who you are. But now I want you to stop and look at, what do I do for fun? And if you're saying fun, who has time for fun? That's a real indication. Or I used to fill in the blank, play tennis, go for hikes, kayak, sit down and read a good book, whatever. But you don't do that anymore. That's a really big indication too. In fact, what was the last book that you read? In fact, I hear people that say, I don't have time to read a book. And I don't have the patience to sit down and read a book. I feel like I should be up being productive, do something, get my paperwork done, blah, 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 blah. And so they will justify why they don't have time for any of the fun stuff they used to do or any book that they have read. And even myself, when I was caregiving for Rich when he had his brain disease, I listened to over 450 Audible books because I had to do everything. And I'd go to work, and I'd come home, and that's all I did. And when I would get him situated to be calm for a while, I would get stuff done listening to an Audible book. So it was my way of multitasking. And you need to stop and say, am I doing stuff like that? So what do you do for fun? And how stressed are you with physical symptoms and irritable attitude and snapping and the kick the dog syndrome, when you're really upset at what you're stressed about and all you do is act it out on other people? You're snapping at your kids, you're barking at your spouse, your sexual desires have just gone out the window. No, I don't mean like you're going somewhere else for them. I mean, you don't want it anymore. So what's happening to you that makes you different than how you used to be when you were happy, or how you used to be when you first started this job or this relationship or this new thing that is now starting to take you under and burn you out? So look at how you treat others. Look at how you treat yourself. Is the last thing you have time for is to make a healthy dinner or even the inclination? Can you get past your, I don't care, whatever, I'll heat up something from the freezer? Are you falling into that pattern? And is it because the boiling water is getting turned up higher and higher? So as burnout increases and the stress gets worse, and we try to shut it up with drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, gambling, shopping, those kind of things, what happens with your stress when it gets worse? Are you obsessing about the problems at work? Obsessing about the things that you're unhappy with in your relationship? Do you start to feel like you've lost that hopeful feeling? When you first started this relationship, you thought, this is perfect. Nobody's understood me as much as this person. When you first started this job, it was like, this is going to be awesome. I can see myself going really far. I can see myself making this a really happy career. This is perfect for my retirement. You had all these hopeful, optimistic thoughts. If you're now starting to feel pessimistic and angry and disgruntled and a little bit betrayed, like the good stuff didn't keep going, if you're starting to doubt yourself, like, did I cause this? Is this my fault? Did I get in over my head with this job? I thought this was going to be so fun. This isn't fun. I thought this relationship was going to be awesome and perfect. And you feel a little bit betrayed that it's not, and the person's human. Are the physical symptoms that you were having a little bit when you were starting to get burned out and starting to get a little bit stressed, are those increasing? Are they with you all the time now? Are you popping Tylenol every 4 hours? Are you looking to show up at the doctor to talk about the chronic stomach aches that you have and the horrible acid reflux and all of that kind of stuff? Are you neglecting your own personal needs? When was the last time you went to the dentist? Do you ever stop and get a massage? Do you do anything fun? Did you stop planting your vegetable garden that you used to plant and enjoy? What did you used to do that you like that you don't do anymore because you don't have time, or you don't deserve it, or you're too stressed, or it just isn't going to happen? So beginning to feel trapped, the stress accumulating and increasing, and now you're getting more and more depressed, and you're starting to look for a way out. This is where suicidal ideology can begin to creep into your mind. And by suicidal ideology, I'm not saying that you sit there and go, I just want to die. I'm going to kill myself. I have this plan that I'm going to kill myself. It's subtle. It's more like, well, you know, if I went ahead and had that surgery and I had to be off work for 6 weeks and they couldn't yell at me because, you know, when you have that surgery, you have to be down for 6 to 8 weeks, maybe that would be a relief. When in our life is the thought of having surgery ever been a call to consciousness that I could rest for 6 to 8 weeks? Okay, that's an indication. Those kind of subtle thoughts like, well, what if my car just ran into that tree? Or what if I this happened to me or that happened to me and I happen to not be here anymore? Well, at least I wouldn't be stressed. Those are subtle suicidal ideation thoughts, and they are a call to consciousness. In fact, you can go back and listen to my podcast, Suicidal Ideation, A Call to Consciousness. It'll really make you explore that and what's going on in your life. But as the stress increases and the burnout gets worse, the denial, the avoidance, the trying to make it go away, or trying to just dig in, dig deep, keep going, do it. Just do it. Get it done. Someday this will stop. Someday I can be happy. Doesn't work. It just goes downhill from there. Depression gets horrible. Going to your doctor and getting on antidepressants is not going to make you feel better. You might lighten the depressive, suicidal ideation, wanting to cry all the time feelings, but you haven't changed anything. You're just masking it. Remember when I've talked about depression, and you can listen to the podcast on depression and anxiety. Those will help you as well. But when you are depressed, there's a reactive depression where you're depressed about something, like this job not being what you want, or you being overloaded, or trying to do the work of three people and being stretched too thin, or this relationship that you thought was going to be wonderful and it's not, and it's falling apart. Okay, so those kind of stressors and those kind of disappointments are a reactive depression. You are depressed for something that's happening in your life. A biochemical depression is when your body's just not doing what it's supposed to do for some reason to produce what you need, the serotonin or the dopamine, to make yourself function well enough and not fall into a depression. I see people with biochemical depressions that come in and say, I have no idea why I'm depressed. I love my job. I do all these things that I really love and care about. Everything's wonderful, and I am just sliding into a horrible depression. Then we're looking for more biochemical sort of things happening in their body. And that's where antidepressants really can help. But you can mask this depression from burnout and stress a little bit. Might help you keep going some. But it isn't going to fix the problem. And if you don't fix the problem, you're going to go under. Because once you get into the last stages of burnout, you are in chronic sadness, chronic depression, mental fatigue. You're not functioning at your best. You're going under. And that's often when people come into therapy. They say, I'm fried. I'm going under. I'm so burned out. I hate my life. I hate my job. I can't stand my relationship anymore. And the whole world looks horrible and dark and dim. Those last stages of burnout are horrendous and painful. And I like it when people come into therapy much earlier and say, yeah, this isn't going like I thought it would, and I need to figure out how to fix this before it gets worse. Yay! But hardly anybody goes into therapy and gets help when that's happening. They wait until the horse is out of the barn and the door's slammed shut and bolted to go, oh, hey, I need to get some help. So if that's been you, time to get some help. But you've got to be able to look at your life in a different way. How am I running it? What am I doing? What have I let go of? Am I trying to be everything to everybody? Do I know how to say no to anybody? I'll give you a couple examples of my own personal issues of having to deal with this as a reformed perfectionist. I had to stop and think, how can I do this differently? I was working my way through college at a book publishing place. And I was the executive assistant at first, and then I was in charge of the advertising department, and it was stressful. Not only was I working on my graduate degree, paying for everything, trying to work full-time, it was horrendously stressful, and I was burning out. And I remember making a list of everything I was expected to do at this job, and I went into my boss, and I handed him this sheet, and it had probably 40 really important things on it, and I said, prioritize this for me. And he said, what? And I said, I got to be honest with you. There is no way that me, as one person, can get all of these things done. And I don't want to disappoint you because it's really hard for me to not be, I didn't say perfect because I didn't know that then, but it's really hard for me not to be meet all the expectations. But you have to prioritize for this, and then you need to know I'm probably going to only get to the top 10. And he was blown out. He wanted to go on thinking that I would work tons of overtime and stay up all night and keep making this really happen. But I stopped and said, what's going on here? And a lot of it was me and my desire to meet expectations and do it perfectly and not whine about it and, you know, dig deep. So when I went into him and handed him that sheet and was just straight up honest with him, he did. He prioritized it, and he hired an assistant for me to help try to get the rest of things done. And that helped. Did not take away all 40 things, but it did help, and he heard me. So it was a proactive way for me to say, what's going on here? And that's where it started. and how am I contributing to this? My perfectionism, my unbounding energy and type A personality was creating so much of the stress for myself. And I'll tell you, employers will let you do that. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I'm going to give you some really good coping mechanisms. We'll be right back.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is your Mortgage Minute, brought to you by Mortgage Matt with Megastar Financial.
Hey, Mortgage Matt here with Megastar Financial. Now is an amazing time to buy. Interest rates have been lower than they have ever been, but the thing that's different about this refinance boom is house prices are up and they're continuing to appreciate. For every 1% that interest rates go down, you qualify for 10% more on your buying power. In the midst of this digital age, there is still great value in having a person that can hear about your situation and come up with the best mortgage plan, loan type for your particular circumstance. There is great value in meeting with a lender who is local that you can meet with face to face. Please feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a time to meet and figure out the best game plan for your situation.
To learn more about your home buying options, contact Mortgage Matt. Call 999-9000, Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage lender. NMLS 1162668.
Welcome back, Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and we're talking about burnout. All right, I want you to really think about how you can go about changing your burnout in your life. And it starts with being able to identify what it is you're unhappy about. Is it work? Is it your relationship? Is it school? Is it trying to do too much? I deal a lot with caregivers because I was in a caregiving situation for many years as Rich's brain disease was taking him down. And the burnout is incredible because you feel like you have to go so many different directions. And people feel like that a lot with their work and their home and their obligations and their kids. And so you've got to identify, what am I unhappy with? What do I feel ineffective at doing? Because so much of where burnout starts has to do with how we feel inside ourselves. There are external factors, like my example of my job where there were way too many things for one person to do, but that's only one piece of the puzzle. A whole lot of the puzzle is what are we doing to ourselves inside? So when you stop and say, do I have way too high of expectations of myself and others? Perfectionism for yourself, high expectations that other ones are going to not disappoint you or to meet your perfectionistic expectations. Do you have a whole lot of your identity wrapped up in what you're doing? Your job, your parenting, whether this is the last relationship because you're tired of getting burned and you don't think there's really a good relationship out there, so you're going to cling to this one because it's your last great hope, and you're putting that on to the person to be your perfect ideal partner. So are you letting all of that color your happiness, whether it's work or whatever? Do you have a strong need for recognition? Do you need people to approve of you or tell you you're doing a good job or recognize you for your hard work and your high expectations that you're doing? Do you feel the stress of feeling like there's no one that could do what you do if something happened to you? And that's a really big thing with caregiving, really big thing if you're the owner of the company, really big thing if this is your last and your perceived last shot at a relationship because you've been burned so many times in bad relationships. You start to recognize and you start to feel like you're irreplaceable. And for caregivers, many are. I mean, if you're trying to caregive somebody with a brain disease or dementia or something like that and something happens to you, who's going to step in? How are they going to be cared for? It's scary and it's stressful to think that you have to keep going no matter what, and burnout begins to set in. Does this thing that you're unhappy with, is it your only meaningful activity in your life? Do you do anything else where you feel recognized, productive? Did you like yourself, that you feel smart? And has what you're doing become your life? Like, if you were to leave this job, are those your only friends? Do you have anyone else you hang out with? Do you have anything else that gets you out of the stressful situation that you're starting to burn out about? One of the things that I tell people a lot is a stress reducer, something that's going to help you not be stressed, has to take your attention. You can't think about anything else you're doing except that thing you're doing at the moment. And then it's a stress reliever. I taught clogging. Rich and I both taught clogging for 28 years. We had 3 exhibition teams. And when you're clogging, you can't think of anything else. Clogging is an old form of Appalachian mountain dancing. We always say it's way similar to a percussive style of, it's a percussive style of tap. That's way similar to tap dancing, only cooler. It's very cool. So anyway, when you're doing something that you really enjoy and you can't think about the stressful situation you're in, that's a stress reliever. And that's what we want to help deal with your burnout. You have to have something that takes your attention. If you don't have anything and you say, oh God, I just don't have time to go play tennis or to go on a hike or to take a dance class, or I don't have time to do any of that stuff. Is that true? Because sometimes the reevaluating of how many directions you're going, how many irons you've got in the fire, pick a metaphor, the water's boiling in the pot and you're starting to fry. What's going to happen if you don't find something else, if you don't reorganize and rebalance? Let me give you an example that I think of to this day because it was so profound in my life. This was before Rich's brain disease started kicking in and I became a full-time caregiver. And we lost his income, so I had to really kick up what I did money-wise. And so all I did was work and go home. But before that, I remember feeling really stressed with how much I was working. And I sat myself down and I said, you know, you're your own boss here. You can structure this however you want. And I really thought about that because I had felt like I had to do more and more and more to, I don't know, pull off some vision I had in my head of how you do therapy or how many people you help or how many interns you train or what. So I was adding more and more and more to my plate. And I sat down and I said, what do you think would be your ideal schedule? And this was not in one sit-down session of thinking about it. It took me a long time to keep going back to, well, what would make you happy? And I finally decided I was going to block off my calendar with where I wanted to put my work hours. And I backed into it. I said, how many work hours do I need to have to contribute my part of what Rich and I used to call the empire? How do you support the empire? And so I figured out how much money did I need to bring in, and then where would I want to put that? And I said, so if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would you do? By the time it was all said and done, I had my work stretched out through the week in a different way than I had ever done. There were 3 days a week that I'd get to work a little bit later because I'd go to yoga in the morning. And I found the perfect yoga class that I absolutely loved. And I'd get there early and do my yoga class and get to the office and change my clothes and start my work day. Once a week, I took a really long lunch, like long was an hour and a half, and met a friend for lunch because one of the things I said to myself is I don't have time to see any of my friends. So I'd go to yoga. Three times a week, I would walk about 3 to 6 miles listening to whatever I wanted to listen to, a music, book, whatever. I'd walk, and I'd go to yoga 3 times a week, and I'd meet a friend for lunch once a week. And I started to go, whoa. This is cool. I'm working as much as I was working before, hours-wise, client hours-wise, but I'm structuring it in such a different manner that I like it. And it took me a while of tweaking it back and forth, before I finally found the formula that worked for me. Now, let's say you don't have the ability to do that. Like when Rich started to get sick, and I'll tell you, everything stopped. Walking stopped, going to yoga stopped. All I could do is go to work and take care of him. And gladly, I mean, I loved him tremendously and I wasn't going to leave him not taken care of. So sometimes things are beyond your control. Sometimes the job you have is you clock in and you clock out and you have to be there your 40 to 50 to 60 hours a week. And you don't have the ability to reorganize your own schedule. But you've got to look at where your burnout is happening and what you can do to change. You have to reorganize. You have to seek some balance. A big, huge factor is you have to learn to say no. I had one client that was super burned out from work and had no time for fun and no time for even doing good things with his kids that he really wanted to do. But he was also the person that never told anybody no. A friend would call up and say, hey, can you help me move on Saturday? And he'd show up with his utility trailer and disappoint his wife and disappoint his kids because they had hoped that maybe they'd have some time with him. But instead of going into his work, business that he owned, on Saturday to work all day, he'd go and help a friend move, and he'd feel good about that. And what we identified was that it was actually a stress release for him because he didn't go to his business and work on that. He went and did something that was more mindless for him and more fun with a friend. So we stopped and looked at where was he overloading himself and what was he not doing to create some balance in his life, and how was his ability to throw in somebody else's needs a stress release for him, but created more stress for his family, which created more stress on him because then he was the bad husband and the bad dad. You can see the downward spiral that happens, can't you, with the stress and the burnout and the pressure that happens. So coping isn't about masking your depression with antidepressants or with Xanax and, you know, benzodiazepines for the anxiety. It's about balance and reorganization. You can only get out of burnout when you find what it is you truly want. So if you're feeling super pressured by the money, back into it. How much money do I need to bring in for the empire? That is to run your house or to do your contribution for your part of the money. How much time do you really need to spend? How can you work smarter, not harder? I'll give you another example of a really good friend of mine, an attorney, who had to figure out that she couldn't always clean her own house and do her own gardening and all of this because she was working like 100 hours a week. I said, you know, why don't you pay to have the things done that you can afford to pay to have done and create some time for yourself? And she had a hard time wrapping her head around that because it was stressful and she felt unproductive. So can you see what I'm talking about here, you guys? It's about reorganization. It's about a call to consciousness. It's about taking a look at who you are, what you value, what you do, and starting to reorganize. You can do it. I've done it in my life, and I'm doing it again now. It's important that we just redo it and redo it and redo it every time we find ourselves too stressed. All right, this is Dr. Patty, and we've been talking about burnout, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help Heal the world, 1 hour at a time.